This morning goes to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be looking at where we picked up. Pray that you were blessed last week, have meditated on it. I pray that you are doing what the Word of God says in reference to these messages. I know we have a handful of Bible studies, home groups, different functions through the week. But how many know you need to be feeding yourself, or you're not going to grow that much? I'm not going to say you're not going to grow. People do, and the Lord will meet you where you're at. But there comes a place as you begin to mature and grow in God. How many know that you need different food at 15, 16 years of age than you did at 2? And you ought to be feeding yourself by then. If you're 16 years of age and you're still in a high chair with a dirty diaper and stuff running down your, something's off. You with me? So I'm not talking about special, please. Don't. I got in trouble for that once before. I'm giving you the imagery of somebody who is capable of being further along, but they choose not to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not meaning to be insensitive. I've got a cousin who's in a, literally in a wheelchair and in that kind of a state because of an accident. I want to be very careful. I'm talking about a 16-year-old who could be somewhere else, but he's not. Are you with me? A lot of believers like that. And shouldn't be that way. And the only way you can move out of that is when you are feeding yourself the Word of God. And I don't mean YouTube. I mean you are getting into the Word for yourself, taking Scripture. Once again, I want to quote to you. I hope you can memorize this yourself. Some of you haven't memorized. Changed my life. My mother sat me on her knee, 4 years of age. And through the years I heard, I don't remember at what point she had me memorize it, but I know from my earliest memory, I could quote to you Psalms 1, 1 through 3. And the truth remains. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. How many know that's old covenant, but it's new covenant truths that now in Jesus are even more so than they ever were then. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, we as believers, especially some of us younger ones and even a few older ones, just hanging out with the wrong kind of people eventually rubs off. Don't reject them. Don't shove them away. But I wouldn't be spending most of my time there unless I've got somebody else with some strength that can be there for the right purpose. Never standing in judgment, but not letting yourself be weakened through the wrong kind of relationships. How many know some relationships are toxic? Wow. Let's pray. No. Amen. But how many know as believers, we shouldn't think of or treat in that way. We should believe the best. But that doesn't mean we have to be best buddies with somebody who is hell-bent. Are you with me? And sometimes you say, well, I'm just hanging out. Well, that's a bad place to be if you're idle. If you're there for a purpose, that's one thing. You know, that's a different thing. So blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, those who make fun of what is pure, righteous, and holy. But his delight, his passion, his wow, is still intact. His delight is in the Torah, the instruction towards Messiah, the Word of God. His delight is in found in the Word of God, and he meditates. Come on, people, are you here today? He meditates therein day and night. The one who meditates, not the one who just hears a sermon once a week, or even a couple, three times a week, but the one who meditates day and night, this one shall be like a tree planted right alongside its very source of power and production. This man shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He'll bring forth fruit in season. His leaf, the sign of our vitality, that I'm alive. How many can show you're alive this morning? Show me your leaves. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does. So if you're not prospering, how about trying meditating a little bit? You're a little timid about that sort of thing, then do it alone. It doesn't matter. My favorite place to do this is alone in a pickup. I'm not a show-off. Enough people have had people try to push their religion all over them. And I've noticed those people that do that are more that way in public than they are in private. But it's okay in private to just exalt and honor and speak the Word of God and meditate. Just one verse. You don't have to know all this stuff. I have people all the time, but Pastor Lee, you just know so much Scripture. You just quote. Well, if you're listening, I'm quoting a lot of the same ones all the time. I'm running over top all the time, constantly. But you know what? You don't have to get a hold of one for that week. Just one verse. And just utter it. Mutter it. Rehearse it. And let the Word of God change your life. Amen? That's what makes the difference, all right? Turning your Bibles in where we left off last week, I pray that this is making a difference in your life. I believe that it is. Ephesians chapter 2, where we left off. Such powerful, powerful truths. I want to pick up at verse 4. We spent some time here. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. I want you to think about that. Just right there, just stop a minute and meditate on that. Scripture, the psalmist, in an attempt to describe who our God is, says that He is the God who has cattle on 1,000 hills. Of course, that's not hard to do in Arizona. I remember somebody one time saying, well, you know, when God was creating the world, when He got all done and just beautiful, He had all these extra rocks left over. But He looked around where to throw them, and He threw them down in Arizona. I tell you something, after being back east for 2 weeks, I was so glad to get back to my rocks and boulders. I'll take them all day long. What in the world was I talking about? God, who is rich. The psalmist is describing cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no way to describe that. That was, they're trying to figure out a way, because he owns everything. So when it says He's rich in mercy, religion has it wrong. We just show Him as merciful. It's what the devil always does. God tells Adam and Eve, you may eat freely of all that I've provided for you. Just this one tree, don't. But you may eat freely. And what does Eve repeat back? Oh, He said that we could eat of the garden. No, that's not what He said. He said you could eat freely. It's who He is. He's El Shaddai, more than enough. Psalms 23 doesn't say my cup is full. It says my cup runs over. It looks like excess and waste to others. How many are glad today for God who is rich? Come on, this morning. I don't know about you, but I need His mercy every day. Rich in mercy. Rich. Think about who's rich. If He's rich, if that guy is rich in mercy, that's one little teeny verse. You could meditate on that all week. How many need mercy from time to time? How many need mercy on a regular basis? We talk a lot about grace. We've all seen the little wooden plaques, and I'm afraid that it becomes cliche, but it's still true. Mercy. Mercy means I don't get what I deserve. And grace means I get what I don't deserve. Aren't you glad this morning for mercy? That made grace possible. For God, who is rich. Everybody say it this morning, rich in mercy. For His great love, wherewith He loved us. After we got our act together and did our best and got to come into church and got our, you know, straightened our life out and quit this and started the other. And at that point, He hooked up with us and He loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy, say it one more time, rich for me in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, come on, are you here this morning? Dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ, for by grace, undeserved favor, by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us. How many since last week have dared to step into that realm where you are speaking and believing about yourself what God has declared over you? One with Christ, seated, a place of rest, seated in the heavenlies, heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. We're going right now through some of the richest, my most favorite verses in all of the Bible. That in the ages to come, it's true, Bob, it isn't out there as much as we think. Everybody's grabbed a hold of the titles and the messages, but when you really get it pinned down, it's not the gospel. It's an addendum to another gospel. Grace is the gospel. That in the ages to come, you're always talking about grace, Eli. Well, you better stink and get used to it, because God, for the ages to come, look at what he gets excited about. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding. Now, it's easy reading out of a King James Bible for this to sound just very lofty and super spiritual and high. Let me just break it down for you. God is going to get a kick out of demonstrating how much he loves you and how much he's provided you and the things he wants to do for you, and show you the overwhelming tidal wave of his love and all the expression of all that is. You got to remember, God created this world. I've said it many times before, several times over the last few weeks, and I just want to remind you there's a reason why he made oranges orange and apples the colors they are, and a toucan the color it is, and a giraffe the color they are, and zebras the color they are, and trees the color, and flowers. I mean, the more they find, the more baffled they are. They know there is a designer. So now they've rejected God and they're talking about aliens. But they know now there is an intelligent designer who stood at some point and put this together. There ain't no way and you've heard me say this before, science will tell you, they don't broadcast it a bunch because it lines right up with the Word of God, but there are sound waves that emanate, they don't know from where, that brush every bit of matter that exists, both you and I, the rocks, the hills, the trees, all matter is brushed and caused to buzz with activity. In the beginning, God said, let there, whoom! And there was. Beautiful stuff. I'm glad for Jesus today. Hallelujah. I hope that in this you'll get a picture of who you are. I believe that if you get a revelation of who you are in Christ and who he is in you, it'll have an effect on your attitude. You won't be so quick to throw a temper tantrum or get embarrassed or hold back while you're laughing, John and Ann. He never has temper tantrums. Oh, you were talking about her. Oh, oh, I got myself in trouble now. How many know the more we get a revelation of who he is, all joking aside, on the inside, if we're getting a revelation, it should affect who we are. That's why I say this, if there were a message in this book, it would be walk like who you are. Amen. But how many know that doesn't happen through just sheer fleshly effort? Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. We find out that the law of the spirit The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is very different from the other law. It is learning to rest in truths that are already manifested and given versus trying to make things come true. Huge difference between those two things. So let me just move on. That in the ages to come, so what is God fired up and excited about? That in the ages to come, He would show to you, to each one of us individually, the exceeding. Now, He just talked about rich in mercy, but now He's talking about the exceeding riches of His grace. It's one thing for Him to be rich in not giving you what you deserve. How many are glad for that this morning? Come on, how many are glad for that this morning? Wake up, get out of your religious mode this morning. How many are glad that we don't get what we deserve because we simply put our faith in Jesus? Wow. The world will still extract some things from you, and there's some things that they should. I got a big fat speeding ticket. Cost me $270 and a couple of points on my license because I was doing 89 in a 75. I mean, no, I needed a little pow-pow. Pastor Lee. John's been with me. He says, I notice you're a little lead-footed. I said, So how's the fishing where we're going? Change the subject. There are some laws of the land. Thank God they're there. But when it comes to this other law, how many are glad for mercy? Even when I'm suffering the earthly consequences, I can say, God, that's stupid, and I'm sorry, and I thank you that you provide above and beyond. But I'll bet I'll slow my little fanny down for a while. Human nature, man. Shut up, John. No, I will. Yes, Lord. Yep, I will. Okay, anyway, let's move along. You deal with your own problem. Don't be looking at me. Okay, so anyway. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding. See, when He was talking about mercy, it was rich in mercy. But now, see, that was this aspect of we don't get what we deserve. That's kind of there's nothing negative about it, but it's more of the negative side of the equation. Look at the way He talks when He talks about what He did in Jesus for you and I. It's no longer rich. It's exceeding riches of His grace. That is what you get that you could never deserve. That's pretty amazing. And it starts in this life and extends into the forever in Jesus. Eternal life is the way the Bible puts it. You got your shouting shoes on this morning. The riches of His grace in His kindness. Even a lot of grace people cannot get their mind wrapped around God being kind. They get the religious buzz phrase of God loves you. God loves you. God so loved the world. Love, because now religion has even made that kind of lofty and distant and, oh, yes, because He's God, He loves me, but nobody else could ever, and I have a hard time loving myself. And in fact, the more I think about it, the more depressed I am. And so the whole love of God thing is just this lofty religious thing. Excuse me, stop. This issue of kindness brings it down to He comes right down and He's like the woman at the well. That's where He's at. That's kindness. He gets down on my level and begins to speak life into me. Hey, lady, did you know? Of course, He didn't use the word lady because He's being kind. Did you know that there? You're pulling from this water, but there is a water that when you drink from it, you'll never thirst again. Kindness. He likes you. He doesn't like everything that you do, as He knows. Because of His love for you, He knows some of this behavior is destructive to me and to others, but doesn't change how He feels about you as an individual, especially, not only, but especially for those who have believed. I won't take the time, but there's a scripture that says that he did this for all, especially for those who believed. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Hallelujah. So, this is what he gets a kick out of. Exceeding riches. When he speaks of grace, it's no longer just riches. You ever seen that before? Have you ever seen that before? He speaks of mercy, it's just riches. When he speaks of grace, it's exceeding riches of his grace on your level. People got this idea that heaven is going to be this strange place where we're floating around like fat baby angels with playing harps on puffy clouds. It's this earth restored without a curse. No pain or sorrow, every tear wiped away. Those days that are so awesome, you think to yourself, I wish today would never end. That is a little foretaste of what heaven will be like. Those times when you get together with family. You know, maybe some of you haven't felt that way in a long time. You know what? God can restore that. He can restore that. I don't care what you've been through, or how bad you've blown it, how young or old you are. God can restore the innocence of a child. He tells us that he has a hope, a plan for our future. And he's not just talking about in this world. He's the one who made mountains and trees and streams and rivers and plains and woodlands and the beauty of all that it contains for you and I in the beginning. Sin messed it up. First stage of that is broken through the death, burial, and resurrection. And our redemption in its completeness is yet ahead, not too far away. Heaven will not be weird. Heaven will be the best that life has had to offer. Far beyond that, on steroids, we can't even imagine it. Not weird or strange, but fixed. For he is the fixer-upper ultimate. Whew, how many are glad today? Come on, lift up your hands all over the house. Thank you for a revelation, new and fresh, of who you are. The author of my past, no longer covered by the blood, but washed away forever. My present and my future. I want to remind you, Philippians 2:13, for it is God who's working in you. Drink this in right now. Come on, drink it in by the Spirit of God as we're getting a hold of this new identity. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of what pleases in him. That he's working in me. What is, verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. I jump back to verse 19 of 1. If you're wondering where in the world I'm at, I was sure enjoying it. Verse 8. For by grace of chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. How many have read that verse before? What does it mean to you? It's okay if we amplify it just a little bit. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship. That word workmanship there, if you go and do a little study, you'll find out that the word used there in the Greek, and I don't mean to wax too scholarly on you here, but I think it'll throw a little more insight into what's going on, because a lot of times we're reading King James, we're how many hundred years removed from that kind of English, and although many of us are used to hearing it, sometimes these verses can just fly right over our head. And we say, well, we were made by him to do good works. Whew, it's way, way, way more than that. The word used here specifically, and we're going to look at it in a couple of other places, is the word, the Greek word, poema, P-O-I-E-M-A. It carries the idea of something that is artfully created. The word for poet, for example, P-O-I-E-T-E-S, comes from this same word. In reference to a poet, this Greek word, poema, would denote one who has the extraordinary ability to write or create a literary masterpiece. In other words, the word that is purposely used for workmanship, comes with it the sense of an artist who presents the absolute very best that they could put together to present, for example, to the public to say, this is who I am, what I'm all about. This is the best that I know how to offer. Whoa. Can you say this morning, workmanship? See, when he picked this word, workmanship in the king, they didn't know how to, well, they didn't know what to do with this Greek word. It's so colorful. If Bob could have understood when he was in Guatemala that they've got five words for every one. Quite literally in some cases. Comes from a Latin base that is beautifully expressive. So is the Greek, and even more so the Hebrew. Okay? But here, he's speaking of something that is artfully, the best that can be artfully created. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. Because Paul uses the word poema to explain what happened when you became a child of God, it emphatically means that on the day you got saved, how many in here put your faith? You don't have to raise your hand, but you put your faith in Jesus. Huh, your life was changed. You go ahead and raise your hand. I don't care. Raise both of them in 2 feet. In the right place. Okay, so here we go. It means, he emphatically means that on the day you got saved, God put forth his most powerful and creative effort to make you new. Once God was finished making you new, you became a masterpiece. The new you on the inside. Our journey from here on out, and I'll say it over and over and over again, is not trying to be somebody, but allowing God by his grace through the Holy Spirit within, the new law written on our hearts, to let the outside dare to believe and walk in who the inside has already become. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 is all about. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are. It's not just any new creature. Let me just move on. It says, the day you got saved, God put forth his most powerful and creative effort to make you new. Once God was finished making you new, you became a masterpiece skillfully and artfully created in Christ Jesus. There's nothing cheap. And somebody in here needs to hear that right now and take that by faith. There is nothing cheap in you at all. Boy, how he loves us. God's creative, artistic, intelligent genius went into your making. Turn with me to John chapter 1. We'll come back to this verse, but I want you to see this. John chapter 1, verse 12. Pretty amazing stuff. Says this, but as many as received him. How many have received him this morning? Well, let me see hands all over the place. Oh man, let this be worship as we're receiving. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The verse reveals that you received divine power the day you became a child of God. Here's another Greek word, exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A, if you're taking notes. That's the word here used for power. It means delegated authority or influence. Are you here this morning? Let me introduce you to the real you. And maybe some of us will start behaving like the real us. Not trying to get something, but because we already have everything, the world needs to see the real deal. You're never going to be perfect anyway, so get over yourself. Love and trust the one who is. He'll help us walk more and more like him. The day you chose to make Jesus your Lord and Savior is the day he delegated to you the power and authority to become a child of God. Think of it. At that moment of decision, all the power, authority, and divine influence that's pretty amazing that is resident within the mighty name of Jesus came to live on the inside of you. For we are his workmanship. I want you to stand to your feet today. Come on, everybody in here, stand up. Whew, take a deep breath. Is it too warm in here? We doing all right? All right. I see some eyelids kind of going off. This is truth. I want to get on the inside of you. Oh, man, lift up your hands all over the room. I want you to make it personal. Say, I am his workmanship. This isn't just any work. Artfully, come on, say it out loud about yourself. Artfully created. Brand new. We hear a lot nowadays. You can put your hands down, but remain standing. We hear a lot today about recycling and a lot of cheap stuff. Miraculous what they can do with plastic to recycle it and make something new that's useful. But if I could exercise really bad English and say, but that ain't you, you're not recycled. There's a new man on the inside, artfully created with power and authority and influence as a child of God, seated in the heavenlies. Get a picture. Not just the religion has done a good job of telling you, you need to get a new vision of who God is. I want to introduce you to what the gospel has done. I want you to get a new vision of who he is in you and who you are in him. Come on, are you here today? One more time, let's lift our hands and worship. I'm his workmanship. I believe. To you has been given the power to become Pete, the Son of God. I'm very glad for Jesus today. You can be seated. Go just a few more minutes. Isn't this rich? Rich stuff. It's the lack of an understanding and a revelation of these things that cause us to be enticed into behavior that is destructive. Substance abuse, codependence, all these things that ruin people's lives that our society is rushing to your aid to say it's not your fault and you're not responsible and it's somebody else's fault and all you need is another pill. That's not freedom, not living free. There's one pill called the gospel. He shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is the heart of the gospel right now. People say, "Man, all you talk about is love, 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 and the love and love and love and love of God and the love and the love and love." Let me tell you something. John said, "Love is what casts out fear. Love is what renders the devil useless. Love is what conquers the lack of unity and division. Love is what makes all the difference. And you can't give what you haven't received. So you better just get used to hearing about love, because the more you receive, the more you'll be able to give. Love makes the difference. A revelation of His love for you makes you a less mean person. A revelation of how mean you are by a preacher just makes you meaner. I'm telling you, man, I get a kick out of it. You run into people on a Sunday at Chili's after church, and so many of them look like they've been sucking on sour persimmons. And they got the answer. Really? I don't want that answer. I'm very glad for Jesus today. I need to stop meddling and move on. Okay, here we go. For we are His workmanship. How many got a different picture of what it means? That's why David prophetically said he had no idea what was coming out of his mouth. Speaking of being formed in his mother's womb. Speaking of the inside. He had no concept of what we know now about the language of DNA. DNA is shouting in the face of the leading medical scientists. There is a God. And He is beautiful and wonderful and creative. And everything starts and stops with Him. Aliens. Okay, so anyway. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Just a quick note. Massive cliche. Rock the cliche out of here and through your week. I'm so glad that because of grace, we got the cart back behind the horse. So many of us live with the cart before the horse. You want to know a kind of an odd little historical fact? We say that all the time, but you know there actually was an attempt. And it kind of semi-worked, kind of like the law does. It kind of semi-worked for a while. Okay, but it couldn't fix me. They actually had, like in England and other places in Europe, they actually had a system where a horse pushed a cart. But you can imagine the problems with that. It wasn't popular. It kind of faded like it needed to. Like the law needs to in us. How many are glad today that we are first His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, artfully and wonderfully made, with exousia on the inside of us? Are you here this morning? Now all of this is complete, so that now all of this has caused us to be made unto good works. Not good works to get, but because of this should flow. And this is what the book of Ephesians is all about. In chapter 4, the whole tone changes. It doesn't change from grace, but it now begins to challenge us. Everything's been done. What are you going to do about it? It's not so much do as rest and receive. And behave in a manner. I won't take the time today. But Colossians, if you're reading and meditating on this, I want you to take the time out. We did this a little bit in our men's Bible study on Wednesday morning. I took them over and I showed them where Paul does almost the exact same thing in the book of Colossians that he has done in Ephesians. He uses the same pattern. It's absolutely wonderful. where he speaks of who we are. In fact, Colossians tells us that we are complete in him who is the head of all. Phrase after phrase is almost identical to this book of Ephesians. Let me finish up where I'm at here. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, or because of this, remember that you in your past life, and here he's speaking to a specific group, but we can apply it to ourselves as Gentiles, in other words, non-Jews who weren't part of all that, okay? Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which was called the circumcision. If that threw you, that's something that was understood then, not so readily understood now. And he's simply saying those of the circumcision, speaking of the Jews and the system of the law, and they referenced those of us who are not Jews as uncircumcised. You remember David's words down at the stream as he was picking up stones, and he says to Goliath, "Who are you that defies the army of the Lord?" Okay? Who are you that defies God, our God? You uncircumcised Philistine. That was their language. You're not a part of the chosen people. You're not a part of what Hebrews references as the holy brethren. But this book here reveals that that has all changed because of Jesus. We'll see. I don't know if we'll have time to get there today. But this book here, just hand in hand with Galatians, a little softer tone, shows us how now this message of grace works. Wherefore, remember that you in times past, being Gentiles in the flesh, you who were called the uncircumcised, that at that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope or without God in the world. But now, somebody needs to underline that in your Bible, but now, in Christ, you who were at one time a long ways off are now made near by the blood of Jesus. For he is our peace. Everybody in here, look up this way. I want you to say that out loud, and I want your ears to hear your lips say that. He is my peace. When we get out of peace, we start getting all over the road. But there is a place, and we don't know what else to do. Come on, are you here this morning? He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This is a direct reference between Jew and Gentile. Okay? And hath abolished, brought to an end, no longer has abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. I do not understand. I still have people that I love that attend here from time to time, but they still want to say, but yes, but the law still is important. Well, yes, of course it is, but not for you as a believer. It's important for you as a believer, and that's our foundation. It's found in the law. Without the law, I would not have known. The law was, Paul said, a schoolmaster for me that brought me to the end of myself. It also brought me to the end of it for me when I stepped over into Jesus, into a new law that now resides within. I no longer relate to my Father through that law, but I have the Spirit of God in the inside of me that now cries, Abba, Father. Everything has changed. I don't understand how they can. I show them these scriptures. I show them 2 Corinthians 3, and it's nothing but spiritual blindness. The only thing you can do is smile. Don't argue. It's not worth it. Pray for them. It took a long time for me to get it, and I can't cram it down their throat, nor should I break fellowship and stop being their friend. That's evil. That's not walking in grace. That's walking in stupidity. But the truth still is, he abolished in his flesh the enemy status, enmity, enemy. That's where that comes from. Between me and the Jew. Literally, in the way they thought, between the Gentile and God. Jesus, through his flesh. What is he talking about? When he spread his arms and was nailed to a wooden cross, and his blood freely, not just any blood, but his blood freely flowed. John describes this prophetically. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Revelation, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. But here's the bigger revelation. I tell people all day long about how God loves you. But here's the one that will change you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me, Sean. And not just love, but his kindness, friendship. He doesn't want a boss employee relationship with you. Sons and daughters. And you hear it all the time. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Religion always has to infuse. Yeah, he's Most High, but right now this sons and daughters things means I can crawl in my time of struggle, crawl right up in his lap and say, Dad, I don't know what else to do. Just hold me. Till the storm passes. I know I'm supposed to confess in the Word of God and speak, but right now I don't know what. Just hold me. You ever been there? Some of us guys were raised rough. We've never known that. That sounds weird. But there's a place when you come into revelation of Jesus where you now at 50, 60, 70 years of age can do what you never could do as a child and crawl up, refathered with a new dad, crawl up in his lap and say, God, I don't have all the answers. I admit I don't. Just let me be with you. I'm glad for Jesus today. Woo! Did you ever know there was so much in one little book? You'll never read Ephesians the same way again. I believe it with all my heart. Let me finish. It's 11:30. I got another 2 hours. I say that every week. See, I'm seeding that. Having abolished in his flesh that enemy status, even the law of commandments. Even the law of commandments. How can you get past that? You who are listening to me eventually online or through a CD, please see what the Word of God repeatedly says now in the New Covenant. You're not ever going to find fulfillment and peace and calling and fruit pursuing the law. Contained in ordinances, or to make in himself of two. Now he's speaking directly to Israel and everybody else. Greeks, barbarians, Gentiles. It came to the Jew first. This is how it was prophesied. What does Paul say in Romans 1:16? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to. He is the chief cornerstone, which the builders, Israel, rejected. And now, we have been brought in. Look around at the new Israel. That's not replacement theology. That's Bible. We are one in Christ. I'm very glad for Jesus today. No more enmity. No more wall between us. Just as precious and close to Him as any chosen people. It breaks my heart to know that there are great men in the world today who have a wrong perspective on end time prophecy that still believe that Israel will go back to a temple system, the shedding of blood of bulls and goats and rams, that there will be a restored Levitical priesthood, there'll be a red heifer, and all this other stuff, when our own Bible says that has been ended once for all. I don't care who's saying it. Stop making them rich by buying their stupid books and read your Bible. That's done. Jesus paid it all. And all means all. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Come on. Now there's one door. Jesus, a Jew, a Jewish rabbi, made it clear it's what got him killed. John 14:6. You ought to have this one to memory. How many know what it is? John 14:6. John 14:6. Come on, people of God. I'm not meaning to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to make you feel a little bit bad. You ought to know this one. I'm kidding. John 14:6. Come on. Come on. I am the way, the truth. No man, Jew or Gentile or otherwise, comes to the Father except through me. And there are men who believe that God is going to deal with them in a separate covenant. It's called dual covenant theology. Mm-mm. That one's done. There's one. It's found in Him. Our Jewish Jesus. I'm very glad for Jesus today. I got to finish this up. Are you having as much fun as I am? Getting a new picture of who you are. How many know this week ahead of you, not one of you in here is going to be perfect. So sabotage the setup already and get over you. Begin to dare to believe this when at least seems to make sense. Instead of just when you're feeling it. I got it this morning. I read my devotional. I'm doing pretty good. And I listen to worship music on the way. I can't listen to the worship music on the radio. I get my other stuff. Just too poppy and sounds like everything else. I'm glad you do. So don't feel bad, though, if you don't, because I don't. I get the other stuff. Or I just worship. But you know, we read our devotional and then we're listening to our worship music. And we get through that day pretty good and we come home and, you know, mama burns the beans and no, it's okay. It's okay. It's understandable. Even if it's a 1,500th time you've done the same way, it's all right. It's just, you know, you're just flowing by Wednesday. The devil sets us up for failure. We set ourselves up. Let's just get over us, get a new picture of who we are in Him, what this new man looks on the inside. Remember the word exousia. Delegated authority and influence living on the inside of you. Remember the word poema. This is a description of, in the Greek, that you are artfully, miraculously, and wonderfully made in Him. Nothing cheap. Would you say it out loud about yourself this morning? Nothing cheap about me. For God, say it with me, for God who was rich in mercy is exceedingly rich in His grace for me. That's why I can boldly say it out loud. That's why I can boldly say, I'm more than a conqueror. There may be a few battles I'll lose. Come on, say it out loud with me. There may be a few battles I'll lose, but I don't quit and run anymore. For the battle is the Lord's. I must trust Him and know that I'm a conqueror. Come on. You think any great conqueror in history ever had a few defeats in the process of getting to where he was at? Huh? What's that? Yeah, that's right. And that's Old Testament. How much more now in Jesus? How many are going to quit dwelling on busted knees and hitting the blacktop and start dwelling on where this road has taken me and the new vehicle that I travel in? Exceeding riches of His grace, that He might reconcile, verse 16, and I'll quit with this, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy status, enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And we'll stop right there. Did you get anything out of this morning? Woo, this has been some good ribeye. Not because I said it, but because of what we're doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you remember those words? Do you write them down? Exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. Power. For as many as who received Him, to them He gave. How many have received Him today? Stand to your feet all over the room one more time. Let's lift our hands together. Thank you, Lord, for power. Thank you, Lord, for your work in me. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of who I am. At rest, at the right hand of the Father, with Jesus. Say it out loud one more time. You are my peace. You've broken down every wall. Freedom is mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Worship you. We honor you and we give you thanks. I'm so glad. I love what Brother Womack said. He said, some people say that it's really hard to live a Christian life. How many in here could agree with that? It's all a matter of perspective, though, because he goes on to say, not only is that true, but even more true is it's impossible. It's impossible for you to just live a Christian life. Are you lost? That's what religion tells us. There's no way you're going to do this just because you've turned over a new life, leaf, and everything. As you get a revelation of not what you're going to do and live to be, but you get a revelation of what has become, it's no longer walking out a Christian. There is that part, and we're going to get to that, but it's impossible unless you understand that this is absolutely a miracle that has only been done through His work for us. My everyday life is not about living a Christian life, but it's letting His love and His power, these revelations, be revealed to us and walking in that flow. You can call that what you want to. Amen? You with me today? Get delivered from this concept that you have this certain little thing you have to perform in order to fit the... It's not about that. That'll happen, as you hear me say all the time, more by accident than you ever did on purpose. When we let these truths revealed in us. One more time, nothing cheap in me. A son, a daughter of God, learning to rest, for he is my peace. How many love Jesus today? How many glad you came to church? Praise the Lord. I'm just going to dismiss you like that. Can we sing? Oh, come let us adore him as we're dismissed.